Want to bless the Lord as you go about your life? Pastor Dave Rolfe says it may look a little different than what you have in mind.
We will probably be surprised when we get to heaven when we find out what Jesus was most blessed by that we did. But it probably won't be the kinds of things that people think are impressive. It probably won't be the things for which you get rewarded greatly. It happens out in the dust of a field as you're taking care of those who he loves.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Today on The Balanced Word, Pastor Dave Rolfe will deliver his final message in the Gospel of John. In chapter 21, the disciples are out fishing and not catching a thing. Jesus shows up and tells them, try the other side of the boat. Well, that made all the difference in the world. Pastor Dave will encourage us to invite Jesus to come to work with us. And at times he may call us to make some adjustments to what we're doing. We'll also be faced with the question, do we really love Jesus? If so, it'll be seen in how we treat his sheep. So with Bible in hand and an open heart, let's receive what the Lord has to say through the final chapter of John.
Jesus says, if you love me, take care of the babies. If you love me, help the young people to continue to flourish. And then ultimately, when we get old, sometimes we just need to be fed like a baby. And he goes, it sometimes comes down to feeding also. In the church, we try to do all of these things. Ultimately, we always want to make sure that we're ministering to the kids and to the youth and to those of us who are adults. When I teach you, I'm not spoon-feeding you. Don't take it that way. When I visit you in a convalescent home, I might do that. And I've fed plenty of people, believe me. But what we do here, for the most part, is trying to figure out together how to do life, how to take what God says and put it together, forming a balanced life, forming a life that's good and normal. So that's what we try to do. But at the same time, when sometimes, like together, we get together and feed everybody. That's kind of like Jesus with the disciples at breakfast. It's a healthy thing to share a time together. And, you know, you love it. You go over to somebody's house, they make you feel at home, feed you a good meal. That's all a part of the whole thing. But what Jesus is saying is, if you love me, I don't need anything from you. I actually didn't need your fish that I blessed you with. I already had my own fish and bread, but I'm taking your fish and I'm going to participate with you and we can share a meal together. But if you really love me, spend your life out there taking care of others, loving them because I love them and you have a chance to do that. But it is not a glamorous calling. It is rarely profitable. It's almost always thankless, but it's tending sheep, feeding lambs, making a difference in people's lives, saving lives one person at a time. That's what I want you to do. And you probably will know if you are really expressing your love for him, if you are devoting your life to something that most people think is unglamorous. Shepherds in those days, and really in all times, are resented by cowboys. They're resented by business people. Shepherds are like, oh, they're dirty and gross. And they, you know, it's just you're a shepherd because you can't get a real job. Well, sometimes loving Jesus ends up looking that way. And when that happens, know this, the highest form of love for Jesus is not doing something glamorous. The highest form of loving Jesus is doing something anonymously insignificant in serving. I was reading the other day about Gordon MacDonald, who's a well-known pastor and a writer, a really good writer. And when he was talking about when he went to New York City after 9/11, and he was there with the Salvation Army, and he said, you know, it was just like long, hot days, but he said, the strange thing, I've spoke at big conferences, I've written best-selling books. But he said, when I'm there in New York City and I'm giving cold water to workers who are digging out body parts, when I'm holding them and we're crying together and I'm praying with them and I'm listening to their stories, he said, I have never felt closer to God in my life in any ministry than that. So often we think, oh, if I could be well known, that must be really rewarding. No, actually, it's when you are serving and nobody really sees it, when you're doing things that aren't glamorous, that Jesus says, that's what makes me blessed, because that's how my love is expressed. Jesus did not primarily speak to thousands. He had those opportunities, and he said things that kind of deliberately drove them away. His greatest moment, and it still is when he meets people in their pain, in their difficulties, in their challenges. And for us as his people, as his followers, as those who are called to do his work with his love, that's really kind of how it usually happens. We will probably be surprised when we get to heaven, when we find out what Jesus was most blessed by that we did. But it probably won't be the kinds of things that people think are impressive. It probably won't be the things for which you get rewarded greatly. It happens out in the dust of a field as you're taking care of those who he loves. Now, after this little talk, then he tells Peter, and it's not going to be easy. Verse 18, most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. Man, you could go anywhere. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Peter turned around and saw John and he goes, well, what about him? What's he gonna die from? Jesus said to him, verse 22, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And then John says, a lot of people heard that and thought it meant that John wasn't going to die. And he said, Jesus didn't say I wasn't going to die. He just said, hey, even if he doesn't die, that's none of your business. And then John says, this is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. There are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that could be written. Amen. So he says, love me, serve my sheep, and it might kill you. Serving him, taking care of his sheep, it's a lot harder than it looks. And it's a lot less rewarding and thankful. Some of the most significant things that we ever do with our lives will go completely unappreciated. And ultimately, if people hate you, a lot of times they're going to hate about you what you are trying the most to do it as service to him. People don't appreciate shepherds. People don't appreciate people who try to act like Jesus. And if you reach out to somebody with gentleness, and I see this all the time on social media where you're trying to reflect Jesus' heart, there's always somebody who comes along and just blasts you because they think you don't hate people enough or that you need to tell. Like I had a guy who was writing and he's not a Christian, and some people on my Facebook page were interacting back and forth with him, and some guy just comes up and says, he's of Satan. He's just of Satan. It's like, yeah, that's always going to happen. Ultimately, there are going to be people who not only don't reward you for trying to be faithful, they're going to want you dead. They're going to want to kill you. They wish you would go away. And Jesus is just warning us, don't think that tending sheep is going to be glamorous. It is at times. I'm not going to lie. Serving God, I have been so blessed my whole life. But at the same time, frankly, There are times when I've just been hurt deeper than I could ever even imagine. And you'll find the same thing. When you try to do the work of God, man, it can be great, but it can be really painful as well. And so he's just laying that out for Peter and said, it's not up to you to decide what the results are going to be. What's up to you is you follow me. You just come after me. Now, as we look at this whole chapter, a couple things I want to draw your attention to quickly as we close. First of all, let me set something straight. There are people, I think Peter, who was an amazing guy, I think he gets picked on a lot. There are people who see this whole encounter that Peter had with Jesus as Jesus restoring Peter. Like, Peter had been so disgraced by denying that he knew Jesus that now Jesus is trying to let him know, hey, it's okay, you know, you denied me three times, I'm going to tell you, you know, to feed my sheep three times and all this stuff. It's when we talk about Peter as if he was some kind of an idiot, we talk about Peter as if he was just this wild, out of control guy. For sure, Peter was really spontaneous. He was really emotional. He had a lot of fire and vigor to him. But I think that's what Jesus loved about him. I think that's why Jesus chose Peter to be the leader of the disciples. And make no mistake about it, and a lot of times I think people are afraid to even admit that Peter was the leader of the disciples because they don't want to say that, well, he's like the first pope, he's infallible. Oh, he's very fallible. But let's not forget, even at this point, Peter's the one who said, I'm going fishing, and they said, we're going too. He was the leader of the disciples. He's the one in this story who, when John was the one who said, hey, it's Jesus, Peter's the one that jumps out of the boat and runs to him. And Peter's the one that Jesus talks to about, here's what it looks like to love me. Now, prior to that, Peter was the one who, when Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Peter was the one who said, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. Over and over again, we see Peter just, yeah, he was the guy that pulled the sword out and hacked the ear off of the priest's servant. But that's Peter. You know, yes, he denied knowing Jesus. But the other disciples weren't even there, except for John. And he got there, he had an executive pass somehow with the high priest. So, and then later, what happens on the day of Pentecost? Who preaches the first sermon? It's Peter. Nobody else in Acts 2 stood up and said, men and brethren, here's what's going on. No, it was Peter. Later on in the book of Acts, Peter's doing the first miracle, healed the first guy. Peter also, you know, is the one who, when he walked down the street, if you were in his shadow, sometimes you'd be healed. So let's please get over this idea that somehow Peter was this big loser or that Peter was a big joke. The guy was amazing. Jesus chose him for a very particular purpose and used his as an example. And here we just see another example of it, first out of the boat. Peter, by the way, is the one who walked on water with Jesus. Yeah, we remember that he sunk, but nobody else got out of the boat to do that. So I just want to stick up for Peter a little bit there, side note. Here's where this comes down to for us. Every one of us has work that we do. We have a way that we spend our life. We have a way that we produce income or a way that we occupy ourselves, whatever that is. What if Jesus asks you, are you catching anything? In other words, how is your work going? How is your life happening? When you look at your life, ask yourself, are you spending time and energy and resources doing something that just isn't working? He wants to meet us in our careers. He wants to meet us at work. He wants to meet us with what it is that we do with our days, because what you do with your days is what you do with your life. And he might be calling to us and saying, how's that going? How's your life actually working out for you? Are you catching anything? And for us, if the answer is, I feel like I'm kind of frittering my life away in what I'm doing, it doesn't mean that you make a major change. It doesn't mean that you go, fishing isn't working for me. I think I'm going hunting. It's, in this case, it's like, Jesus, if you listen to me, I have an idea. Just adjust the net and let's see what happens. Their biggest day ever, their biggest catch ever, which, by the way, not only allowed them to eat a good breakfast, but now as Jesus is telling Peter about feeding sheep, I imagine they took some of those sheep and fed other people with them as well, or at the very least, sold them so that they would have resources to be able to take care of people. But let's not just, you know, live our lives, fritter them away, not ever letting Jesus ask us the question, how is that going for you? And what might I want to do to make an adjustment on what you're doing? When you stop asking that question, how is life going for me? Then you're just ultimately waiting to die. You're doomed to deterioration unless you're asking yourself, how is this working? And then secondly, it's important for us to face the question, do we really love Jesus? Do we appreciate him and what he has done for us? And if we love him, the response is always going to be, what can I do for his sheep? What can I do for those babies? How can I help those who are maturing and growing through that stage of life? How can I reach out to people who can no longer feed themselves? In what way can part of my life be devoted to loving the ones he loves and caring for them? Something that we all need to ask ourselves of. It's something that we, you know, as a church, ask ourselves often, like, how can we, out of love for Jesus, you know, what can we do that looks like tending sheep, feeding the baby lambs, and reaching out to those who could use some help? We all need to ask that question. Ultimately, we also have to ask ourselves, what price am I willing to pay to follow Jesus? If he invites me to serve his people, if he invites me to follow him with my life, am I ready for it to hurt? Am I ready for it to be difficult? Am I prepared to follow him even if it kills me? It probably won't kill you, but if you're willing to do it even if it kills you, then you're willing to do it even if it insults you, or even if it inconveniences you, or even if it costs you money, or even if it makes you lose friends, or whatever else that following Jesus does cost you, you've already decided, even if it kills me, even if I am crucified like Peter would be, I'm going to serve him. And serving him means serving his people. And that's what I want the energy of my life to be. Now, it may be sometimes that you just do your work all night, that you put in long hours producing something that will then allow you to bless others, that will catching fish so that you have fish to feed to others, you know, accumulating resources so that you can share those resources in the name of Jesus. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. So we all need to have a job that we do. We all need to have a way, whatever that is, whether it's a, you know, being a mom or a grandma or being somebody who, you know, supports and prays for other people or whatever it is, what you do with your life is something that can be, that can become a great expression of love for Jesus, especially if you're willing to do it when it hurts. And sometimes it will. Now, if you're here today and or you're listening and you've never actually followed Jesus, it sounds kind of ridiculous. I don't have anything to give you that will make it sound like this will be so awesome. if you do it, all I can say is I've been following Jesus since 1971, and I would never go back and live life any other way. I wouldn't want to do it without him. But I don't want to give you the idea that all of a sudden you're going to start following Jesus and your life is going to get easy, because your life might get a lot harder if you allow him to forgive you and set you free, because he wants to do something with your life that lasts forever, that's significant. So I can't promise you if you come to Jesus today that, oh, it's going to be great for you. But what I can promise you is what you do will last forever. If you're following him, you can finally discover a meaning and significance to your life. And ultimately, all the stuff you've been trying to do, all the things that you've tried to accumulate, everything that you've tried to accomplish, all of that was because you honestly look yourself in the mirror and you just go, I'm not catching anything. This doesn't mean anything. And I'm telling you, the answer is Jesus Christ. And if you come to him, if you receive him, you'll discover what your life is really all about, that it's worth a lot more than you ever thought possible. But at the same time, significance is demonstrated in different ways than you ever thought it really was. But you can find meaning if you come to Jesus. And if you've never received him, I strongly encourage you today to come to him. There will be people down here in the front. And if you need prayer for any reason, come down and get some prayer. But especially if you just want to start life over and you want to follow Jesus, even if it kills you, well, come on down. That's what we have to offer. That's what he is inviting us to, a life of incredible significance and a life of difficulties and challenges, but it will never be empty and meaningless. You will never be with an empty net going, I am not catching anything with my life. So please come to him today if you haven't.
With that, we've made it through the Gospel of John here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe. We hope you got a lot out of the study. Call and request a CD copy at 949-362-7475. By the way, we're making this complete series in John available to you on a thumb drive for a donation of $10 or more. Go through this powerful gospel from start to finish with Pastor Dave. Again, call 949-362-7475 and we can help you with that. Please remember, it's your support that allows us to bring the teaching of God's Word to the radio every day. Thank you for standing with us. Again, we can be reached at 949-362-7475. Or you can make a donation and resource request online at thebalancedword.com. We'd like to invite you to visit us at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. Pastor Dave Rolfe teaches most weekends, and you can hear him teach the Word Sunday morning at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. He always enjoys meeting his listeners, so please say hi after the service. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Finishing our time in prayer, here's Pastor Dave once again.
Lord, thank you for this amazing story. We want to invite you to come to work with us, that what we do with our lives, we want you to lead and guide us and show us and share with us how to do that. We also want to be willing to take care of sheep, to know that life isn't always about a full net of fish and the adrenaline that accompanies that. But sometimes life can be tedious. But it matters to the sheep, and it matters to you. Show us what your calling is and how we can meet the needs of those you love out of our love for you. Ultimately, please give us the faith to follow you, even if it kills us. And for people here, Lord, who really are just frittering their life away, getting nowhere, help them to know Today, they can start fresh by being forgiven, by beginning to follow you. Give them the faith to do just that without a bunch of fake promises, just to know there's really nothing else that they can do with their life that matters like this. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Now that the book of John is complete, we'll head over to the Proverbs tomorrow on The Balanced Word. Come back for that as Dave Rolfe introduces this new and exciting series that will lead us to smarter living. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up.